Do you understand what I have done for you? That is the question that Jesus asked. And that is the question before us this lunchtime. We gather today to complete our preparation for the most holy 72 hours of the Christian calendar. And many of us have spent the last 6 weeks of Lent through prayer and giving up things, preparing for this Easter weekend. Others of us have been otherwise distracted. But we all gather this lunchtime with one goal: to seek the Lord that he might prepare our hearts, that he might prepare us to enter into something of the emotion and experience of Jesus as he journeyed into the realm of death and back into the realm of life. Now, we know that Jesus did this for us, but do we appreciate it? No, do we not all long to honor him as he deserves, to worship him as he demands, to love him as he expects? But to do this, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And what better way to allow the Spirit to prepare our hearts for this holy weekend than to join with the disciples as Jesus prepared their hearts for what was to come? In verse 1 of chapter 13, we see that Jesus knew his time had come. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to be with the Father. And who does he think of first? Himself and his imminent death? No. Read on with me. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, you would have thought that it was obvious that Jesus loved his disciples. Now, I imagine he demonstrated it daily, in the small things, the way that he cared about their well-being, the way that he listened, the way that he served, and the way that he prayed for them. Yet it clearly wasn't obvious to all. Verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Judas was about to do a heinous crime, to betray the one who loved him. Have we betrayed Jesus this past year? Now, we may not have acted as viciously as Judas, but have we let our Savior down? Have we despised him, rejected him in our hearts, taken him for granted, neglected him, even been embarrassed of him, ignored him when he's calling? And I fear to a greater or lesser extent, we all stand guilty. We have not been what we should have been. We have compromised ourselves with wrongdoing, done things that we regret, thought distasteful thoughts, said things that we wish we hadn't. Maybe that we have hid most, if not all, of our sin from others. You know, aren't we the masters of pretense? Yet if we are honest, honest with ourselves, we all stand guilty. Guilty of betrayal, guilty of sin, guilty as charged. It's why we need Easter. It's why we need the cross. Jesus loves his own to the end. And if there is any doubt, he leaves his disciples with two examples of love that they will remember forever. The first is immediately clear. It's the washing of his disciples' feet. And in this way, Jesus demonstrated love. And in particular, I would suggest he demonstrated selfless love that we should practice too. In verse 4 and 5, we read there that Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples. Foot washing was common practice. It was the job of the servant, preferably the non-Jewish servant. But here is Jesus reversing the hierarchy. More than that, here is the King. More than that, here is the Creator stooping down to wash the dirty and grubby feet of his disciples. It's not surprising that when Jesus kneels before Peter's feet, that Peter can't handle this. He stops him there in verse 8. "No, you shall never wash my feet." Wouldn't you say the same? It's just too demeaning. But Peter is missing the point. When Jesus gets back to his seat, he's naturally concerned that the other disciples have missed the point too. See verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he said to them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you.'" In this one act, Jesus taught what it meant to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it's not that he expects us to literally go around the office this afternoon washing the feet of our colleagues. Rather, he models here selfless love. He teaches what it is to act without concern for any benefit for ourselves. Even when we deal with those who would do us harm. He washed Judas's feet as well. And it is this kind of selfless love that marked Jesus out. And it's the kind of love that has marked Christians out throughout the ages. And it is the kind of love that should mark you and me out too. Now, there's something else going on here as well. Jesus applies the foot washing in a way that points to the second example of his love. Foot washing prefigures the ultimate example of love, the reason that we celebrate Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. So if Jesus models selfless love that we should practice too, let's see also that Jesus models sacrificial love that we should practice too. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" You know, how could the disciples fully understand? You know, it's still hours, wasn't it, before Jesus' arrest. It was too soon for them to fully grasp the poignancy of that question. You see, it was much more than just washing the disciples' feet. Yet that foot washing symbolized the earth-shattering, life-changing, world-reorientating moment that was coming. And we see that pointed to in Jesus' exchange with Peter in verse 7. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter then gives his strident reply, beginning of verse 8. Then Jesus, end of verse 8, spells out what the washing of feet speaks of. Jesus answered, "Until I wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus speaks here of the forgiveness of sins, what he is about to do on the cross. And is that not why we gather now? Is it not why we approach this holy weekend with such expectation? Is it not why we anticipate Easter Sunday morning with such fervor? The bread, the wine, the communion, the cross, the resurrection point to one thing: cleansing, purification, forgiveness of sins, restoration in our relationship with our Creator. You see, when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, he forever washed us from our sins. We have been eternally cleansed from head to toe through his cleansing blood. And in the foot washing, Jesus anticipated his cleansing work of sin upon the cross, made available to all who put their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Do you understand what I have done for you? That is the question that Jesus could ask us. Now, I left the comfort of heaven for you. I took on flesh. I became a baby, limited in time and space for you. I walked this earth as a man, despised and rejected. I hung on a cross for you. The sky went dark. I had been in the company of my Father for all eternity. And then at that moment, he withdrew himself and I cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is finished. I died for you. I sacrificed my life for you. Do you understand what I have done for you? Can I encourage all of us to meditate afresh this weekend on our sin and the blood that was shed on our behalf? You know, don't be scared to look inside. Pull back that curtain of respectability and remember the words of Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. We all, each one of us, was beyond hope. And then remember and give thanks for how Jesus cured your heart. You see, if we feel the gravity of our sin, we will feel also the glory of our salvation. Do you appreciate the sacrifice? If you do, then do as he says. Take up your cross and follow him. Are you not tired of living life for you? You know, how many of us are living half-hearted Christian lives? Now, where is the sacrifice? When did we ever do anything that costs? Maybe you're here this lunchtime and you have not yet embraced the Savior. Why not do it today? I know there are people here who would love to pray with you at the end of this service. I would love to pray with you if you'd like to know more. Jesus here promises to love his own to the end. Will you do the same? Will you love your friends, your neighbors, your enemies to the end? And maybe more importantly, will you love Jesus to the end? Will you take up your cross and devotedly follow him sacrificially to the end? Look, at the beginning of this Easter weekend, why not use this time to seek reconciliation with him, to pray for restoration, to long and believe that he will bring renewal? Go down on your knees and seek him afresh and trust that he will come. And together we will say on Easter Day, on Easter Sunday, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.